The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to Landscape Photography World, a podcast for everyone passionate about landscape photography. I'm Grant Swinburne and I'll be your host on this show, talking to landscape photographers about their motivations, likes and dislikes. This podcast is sponsored by SyncBack Pro, the professional photographer's tool to keep your images safe. How safe are your photographs? Or to put it this way, how would you feel if you permanently lost some or even all of them? The fact is, there are very real risks in storing your digital images on a hard drive, even if they're backed up to an external device. There's ransomware, hardware failure, file corruption, virus infection, and even accidental deletion or destruction. SyncBack Pro makes this problem go away, permanently. SyncBack Pro is the professional photographer's tool to back up photographs, images, documents, and data files. Once set up, it keeps your files safe, quietly, and reliably in the background. So if problems occur or disaster strikes, you'll have nothing to worry about. Your photographs will be safe. Which is why it's also the backup solution that I use myself for my own photographs. Take advantage of an exclusive 25% discount today by going to www.backup.sg. This software will never expire, meaning your photographs are safe forever. That's www.backup.sg. Give your photographs the protection they deserve. Oscar Sloan is a passionate travel, landscape and commercial photographer and filmmaker from Tasmania, Australia. He first started getting creative with a camera in 2017 to capture moments around his backyard, Tasmania. Oscar soon found a strong passion for creating unique work, which has led him to be a full-time freelance creative. From creating still imagery and films to travelling all over the world and connecting with clients to storytell through powerful imagery and films, Oscar is a driven individual with a deep passion for what he does. We discuss his favourite locations, how he got into freelancing, and why he loves the Tasmanian wilderness, along with a lot more. I hope you enjoy the show. G'day, Oscar. Welcome to Landscape Photography World. How are you going?
G'day, Grant. Yeah, I'm going really well. Thanks, mate. And yeah, thanks for having me on today. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you.
Yeah, very keen to get into it and find out why you do what you do and a little bit about how. So why don't we start with why photography, and in particular, why landscape photography? What is it to you, and why do you do it?
Yeah, so I guess I'm starting the question off back where I started, I guess, to will bring me to where I am today. So I about 5 years ago, I picked up a camera because I was really into hiking and exploring Tasmania where I live. And we have like a bunch of versatile landscapes here. We've got, you know, oceans to mountains to, yeah, big forests and stuff. So we've got a lot to look at. And I basically, yeah, picked up a camera, was into hiking, and just took a few photos along the way, as I guess every other photographer starts out. So, and just the landscape had in specifically drew me to it because of, I don't know, just Tasmania was, we've got so much to look at. So, I just was eager to go out and explore and take photos. And then, you know, once you get back home, chuck it in the editing suite and play around with some colors. And I guess that was sort of my favorite part too, just going back and having a play around to see what I could create in the post-production area. So and ever since then, it's just been a big passion to keep looking for the next great shot. And I really try to inspire others through my work to get out there and see what nature's got. So
fantastic. So whereabouts in Tassie are you?
So I'm based on the northwest coast, a little town called Ulverston. and which is about where the Spirit of Tasmania comes into Devonport. It's about 10, 15-minute drive from there towards the northwest.
Yep.
And originally born in Launceston, which is another bigger town back about an hour away inland a bit. So, yeah, I've been on the northwest coast for the last 2 to 3 years now. And, yeah, just live by the beach and, yeah, really enjoying it. So,
yeah. So you get some interesting weather there, don't you? You're basically on what's called Bass Strait, which is renowned for, I guess, stormy and moody weather. Is that your bag, or do you prefer it when it's sunny?
Yeah. Look, it's a, like you say, you get a mixed bag, and yeah, some days it's really, really dramatic and bigger waves and stuff, which is awesome to go shooting because I love like the moody and dramatic conditions. And on the other hand, you get nice pristine days, which is still another favorite part of my shooting as well. So I got the best of both worlds, to be honest. And like I'm only an hour or so into Cradle Mountain, which is a, you know, the World Heritage area of National Park, and it's a another favorite spot to shoot it. I mean, I've been there that many times, it doesn't get old. There's always something to look forward there. So I'm in a really good spot, and yeah, the way I shoot is sort of based on what's surrounding me. So
yeah, fair enough, cool. So what is it, I guess, that you're chasing? What motivates you to get out there and do it?
Yeah, so I guess it's really like what I said, the landscapes that draw me into creating something unique, and always finding different perspectives, different compositions. I mean, like everyone can go shoot that lake and get the same photo, but like I've done it before, like. But I'm always trying that. I guess the last couple of years, I think we all have that shift. You're always finding different patterns, like different areas to explore and stuff. And I think since COVID sort of happened, I've more been drawn to connect with home and find different things around my backyard. And been living on the northwest, obviously a different location than where I'm being brought up. And I've just been finding all these little hidden spots that I would never would have found. And just having, being drawn back to home when COVID was on and finding different areas, it's been really inspiring just to connect closer to home and then, create some different work. And, but, yeah, now traveling's back open. I've got a few travel plans to look forward to. So, I bragged on a bit there. I don't know.
That's fine. So I guess you talked a little bit about travelling. What is next for Oscar Sloan? Where do you plan to get to?
Yeah, so early next year I'm planning to go over to South Africa, into Namibia. It's always been on my bucket list. I'm sure it's a lot of people's bucket lists. I'm really looking forward to just shooting like the big scale dunes and, just getting over there and just seeing something different as well, like, you know, wildlife as well. I've never explored shooting that sort of stuff and learning a bit more about the culture. So that's on my list towards the first quarter of next year. Mm-hmm. And then later in the year, I'll get back over to Europe and got Norway on the list, Turkey, and a bit more of Greece. So, that'll be next year. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a pretty long list, though.
I could go longer, but it's where do you cut it off? But
that's it.
So that's on the travel plans next year for sure. And it'd be good to get that all done. So
nice. Do you think it's important to have goals in your photography? Do you have goals, and if so, what are you looking for in creating those?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I definitely think you've got to have goals in place for sure. And I mean, some people don't, and I can be completely honest. I don't have some here and there, and then sometimes think, oh, shit, I should be doing this, you know, like. But there's definitely goals set in place for what I want to do and where I want to be in, like, you know, a decade's time. Sure. Because at the moment I'm doing a lot of commercial work back home here. That's my 9-to-5. So commercial work, you know. Bit of real estate work, do a lot of architectural work. I'm actually a builder by trade. And I think just having the eye for photography and having that building background, like building new homes and big specy builds, it's drawn me into shooting nice big unique homes like that. So that's what I'm doing in the 9-to-5. And I think, yeah, like looking forward ahead for the goals, I still would like to be doing the architectural work and then probably more branching into a bit more travel work as well. Like it's I'm at the point now where, you know, I'm at an age where I'll probably have kids coming along at some point, and it's going to be a bit hard to travel. But I think down the path, in, you know, the years to come, once that I can get back into the traveling, I'll be pushing for more tourism work and trying to branch into more of my landscape, because I think that's my big passion and my strength. So shooting the landscape tourism work would definitely be the goal on the list. And I guess just having a healthy, successful business and family, like, is evolving around the photography. If I can have that happy medium with both, and that's I'd be happy. So
Nice. I want to talk to you a little bit about the business side of things a bit later, but before we do that, I'm interested, I guess, where you took a shift from just taking photos while out hiking to where you sort of started to turn it into something more artistic, and where that actually happened for you, and why you sort of started to take that bent, because a lot of people are more than happy, you know, just with their iPhone or whatever, going out taking happy snaps.
But
some of us have that sort of bend in the road that goes, okay, well, I'm gonna go off in this direction, and interested in where that happened for you.
Like I said, I started about 5 years ago as the passion, and then got really stuck into it, and I was like, this is awesome, and I just wanted to pursue it, I guess, and started picking up a few clients along the way, and, you know, as every other photographer sort of starts out, jobs here and there, and it's like, oh, this is cool, gonna make a bit of money from it, and still doing the building work and just doing this along the side. And then it was, I sort of had a switch where I could have given it all and gone full time, but it's just like that step outside that comfort zone and whether to do it. So I think it's, you have to go all in or nothing. Like, and I was still in that mindset where I was like, oh, I'm enjoying the building work, but photography is also cool. Like, what do I do? And then it was about 2019 when I moved over to Canada to live over there and do a working holiday visa. So I was there for the whole year of 2019, and, you know, just doing working in a retail ski shop and outdoor wear shop. So, and I had a lot of time up my sleeve to do photography over there. And of course, Canada's a beautiful place to grow and make some more work. So I did that for the year. And then I come back and I wasn't really motivated in the building area at all, like after obviously living over there and, you know, shooting most days.
A lot of photography options there.
Yeah, exactly. And then just coming back to the 9-to-5 grind here, back to reality, it sort of sucked for a few months. And then anyhow, it went on, and then COVID hit. So I still stuck out throughout the building through then. And then it was in the year's end of 2020 when it was the summer holidays, like, you know, Christmas holidays and all that sort of stuff over the New Year's break. And I was out at Derby, which is a little town in Tasmania where the mountain bike scene goes crazy. I'm into doing that as well in my spare time. So I was out there and one day we're riding and I come a crash and broke my back. And so that put me off doing anything, you know, for a good 3 months. So that was sort of really the silver lining where it switched. It was just like, yeah, okay, I broke my back. What am I going to do? I don't have it, because I was a subcontractor for building, so I didn't have any holiday leave, you know, sick leave or anything. So I was like, I need to do something to make money. And I really pushed the photography. Like, I had a few clients I'd do here, work here, there beforehand. And I sort of just gave it all and just went into that, down that path, and thought, this is all I'm going to do to make money for the next however long. And then, you know, 6 months down the track, it just started getting busy, like, word of mouth, and it just honestly just went from there. And since that day, I haven't been back on the tools. So been freelancing and running my own business now for, you know, the best part of 2 years. So,
amazing. Yeah. That's cool. So why don't we talk a bit about the business now? That obviously was where you made that choice to change the lifestyle to go full-time photography. How were you sort of balancing that before you know, work and photography beforehand, and how are you finding moving into that full-time work, how that actually works for you in terms of balancing lifestyle, family, and the rest of things?
Yeah. So I guess when it's back to the start where you said, like beforehand when I was thinking about the switch and whatever, it was actually quite difficult because I was, on the building side, I was working, your normal 7 o'clock to 4 or 5 o'clock, Monday to Friday. And it was hard to obviously shoot for clientele because they're, work Monday to Friday too. So I had a few scenarios where there would be an opportunity to do a really cool job and I'd be like, I want to do that. And then, you'd go speak back to the boss and be like, I want to go do this. And then it sort of become to the point where they're like, well, you've either got to choose photography or building. You got to pursue one of them. And that's where it made me actually think like, well, I want to do photography. Like I don't want to be
buildings getting in the way of photography.
Exactly. And I had like all these opportunities with local businesses in Tasmania here to do some really cool work for. And I was like, no, I'm doing this. And then that's when, back to when I did the switch, I was like, I don't want to go back on the tools. I want to do this because I've got so much more opportunity to grow in what I want to do and be passionate about. So,
sure.
Yeah. And then moving to the business sort of life, the last 2 years, it's been weird because I guess we're still in that post-COVID scenario. Some weeks are really busy, some weeks are a bit inconsistent, and I guess that's the life of freelancing, to be honest. So, but at the moment, it's been really busy, and it's keeping me busy, which is good. And sometimes it's too busy, but I can't complain. And when you say with the balance between your normal life and I guess back to shooting photos as a passion, it's been a bit hard because I've been focusing more on keeping the clientele work happy and keeping focus on that to try build the business. And it's I think everyone goes through that scenario where they lose a bit of the interest in the passion side of it because they're trying to focus on, well, you're doing it as your job now, so it does make it hard. But I think like I've just got back from Europe a few months ago and it was nice to get away and actually take it in as a holiday, but take the camera and just shoot, the happy snaps along the way and not really plan anything. And that's back to where it all began. And that was sort of like a good reset, I think. We were over there for 5 weeks with my partner. And that was a really good reset. And I think if I didn't have that breakup in between, it can get a bit hard at times. So, but the balance does get a little tricky, but I'll always still enjoy, shooting the landscapes and drawing back to where I began because that's where I am today and that's how it started and I'll always be grateful for that. So, I don't think that'll ever die down, but, it's sometimes it gets tricky to get that balance, but it's always nice to step back when you can and even just go for a hike or just do something back to the roots without the camera even. So just a bit of a reset. Wow.
So I guess in terms of the structure of the business, you obviously doing quite a bit of real estate and architectural work, et cetera, and you're trying to get into the travel. Are you doing anything? What else is there, I guess, to supplement income when that income isn't coming in? Because as you say, it can be a bit up and down. Some weeks are a bit dry. Other weeks you got more than enough to do,
In terms of week in, week out, like I said, it's your real estate and architectural work, and then it's an occasional tourism gig here. Like I've done some stuff with Tourism Taz. We've just finished a big contract with Tourism Australia, so that's kept me busy the last year. Basically, nice. we did a big project for the post COVID stuff. There was the NECI program down on the east coast, so that kept us busy. Just general commercial work, to be honest, Grant, like it's just it can be stuff to do with shooting some cars for a car dealership or just general commercial work. I mean, I don't step anywhere near like studio sort of stuff. I don't really do any of that type of commercial work. It's normally
you're not doing portraits and weddings.
I do occasional weddings here and there for people I know and friends up here on the northwest coast. Like I've done a couple here and there, so. But other than that, it's just, it's generally stuff out in the field, outside, like trying to, you know, absorb the nature side of things where I'm passionate and strong. So yeah, and yeah, but some days it's quiet, and if it's quiet, I'll sometimes go for a little hiking, like get out and go to shoot a sunrise somewhere. So it's nice having that sort of freelance option to be able to do.
Yeah,
that.
The ability to say, okay, well, I haven't got anything on this morning. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly right, and that's good. That's. And yeah, back to the building area. Like, I never would have had an option to do that. So it's yeah, nice being able to get
on. You're on the tools Monday to Friday and some Saturdays, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to have a few days off here and there and be able to go, well, you know what, I'm going to go up there and shoot sunrise and, yeah, check out some new spots. So
sweet.
Yeah.
For people that don't know your work, how would you describe your style?
You've sprung me there. I guess dramatic-ish, moody. Yeah, I guess I'm a big user of, I love lights and shadows, and I love working with light. And I think this might be a bit of a ramble here, but
I think
the biggest part in photography and what people need to understand is how light works and the way it can affect an image, like between your highlights, your shadows, and yeah, the way the light's coming into a scene. And and that's one thing I try to observe. Like, I don't plan a lot of my shots. Like, sometimes I'll check out on Google Earth or, you know, have a little scope of some other photos that have been in the area. But most of the time I just like going there and just creating what I can create.
Oh,
and yeah, I just think it's a big understanding to know how it all works. And it can really make or break an image, I think. But yeah, back to the work. I think, I don't know how I'd describe it. I guess it's a bit dramatic. I use a lot of contrast and blacks, and yeah, it's a hard one to answer.
that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think it
looks like?
Dramatic's a good word for it, because I think there's for me a lot of power and emotion in a lot of your work. So for me, you know, particularly some of those stormy scenes where you've got those big waves crashing in and so forth, you know, and a lot of dramatic cloud going on, you know, there's definite drama and power in that. I do like the way that you work with your contrasts and, you know, that light and shade. For me, it's one of the things that makes your work stand out a little bit. I guess, what is it that you feel you're trying to communicate with your photography? Are you trying to communicate anything, or is it just, here's a picture, you know?
I guess with my work, I'm always... Yeah, like I said, trying to find something a bit unique in my subject to shoot and sort of to tell a story and draw a view in. And like you said, to make it so that, you know, oh, that's Oscar Sloan's work. Like, that's, I think we all try to put our footprint in something for people to notice that's that person. And yeah, I think I try to draw in the viewer with my work to be able to tell a bit of a story and inspire them, to be honest. Like I've always, since I started, I've just tried to make work to inspire people to connect with the work and go, I want to see that place, or I want to get outdoors, that looks awesome, I want to start photography, you know, like I want to do that. So that's one of my biggest passions, is to inspire people to get outdoors and just see nature for themselves, and that's what I'm aiming with my body of work, to be honest.
Nice. So would you define success in your photography? This is your personal stuff, obviously, not the commercial stuff. Would you define success as getting that engagement with people that they are inspired?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because I could talk to people that, you know, like, not in the social media area, but people have just seen my work here and there, that they can say, oh, your work's, very inspiring. Like, it's so unique, or, you know, I can tell that it's Oscar Sloan. Like, it's, you can stand out from the crowd, and I guess that gives me the inspiration to keep going.
Yeah.
And when people do comment stuff like that, it's just like, wow, is that's what I'm trying to achieve? Does it actually can you actually see that? So I think that gives that, yeah, that hearing those words definitely keeps me inspired to keep creating what I want to do and what I am creating. So yeah.
One of the things I really like exploring a little bit is that connection between place, technique, and subject. And obviously where you live, you know, you described there's, you know, Bass Strait, there's the mountains, etc., and some absolutely fantastic wilderness areas around there. Does where you live therefore sort of dictate what you shoot and how you shoot it, or do you look for scenes based on how you like to shoot and what you like to shoot?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess I'd lean more towards with what's around me will determine on what I'm going to shoot with, whether it's, yeah, putting someone in a shot for scale or, yeah, having the certain subject to shoot. And I mean, like you say, we have mountains and stuff here, but, you know, they're not massive like, you know, New Zealand and Canada and all that sort of stuff. But that's why I feel like there's, especially at Cradle Mountain, I know a few shots off the top of my head that I haven't got and I could get.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But that can give a sense of scale to the place. And, yeah, I guess I like using a lot of people in my shots for scale because, yeah, it's just something I've always been drawn to since I started out, whether it's, yeah, having someone in there just to show off that sense of scale. And I think it just makes, like, I love clean landscape images, don't get me wrong, like without anything in it. That's one of my passions for sure. But I think just having some sort of subject in there just gives off a different perspective.
Yep.
And yeah, and I think there's plenty of opportunity in Tassie, whether you're shooting, you know, it's a car or it's a person or whatever's in the shot, there's definitely cool, unique angles to get to be able to show that location, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I guess the with what's around me here close to home definitely is shaping more of my photography and what I want to shoot. So yeah, if that sort of answers your question.
There's no right or wrong answer, I guess.
I might have got rambling on a bit.
Yeah, I'm more interested in how people respond to their location and whether or not that's what drives their technique and their subject matter, or whether it's a desire to go and shoot a certain way or, you know, shoot a certain subject that then dictates where they go.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of both. I think it is a bit of both, but yeah, like I said, I pretty much back what I said was probably more of my answer. But yeah, I think sometimes if I just go to a place and think, oh, I haven't been here and I haven't really nutted out what's going on, but if I can go there and just, yeah, shoot clean landscape without anyone in it, I'd still be happy. Like if I feel like I can create something anywhere I sort of go, it's just, and like a lot of people will say, oh, you have to shoot gold now. You have to shoot sunrise, you know, sunset. I think, no, you don't.
Yeah,
like,
two hour gold now, yeah.
I think if you can shoot, you know, harsh light during the middle of the day and nail it, well, I think that's the icing on the cake. Like, that's the hardest Absolutely. Time to shoot. Yeah. Hardest time to shoot for sure. And I think every photographer needs to learn that for sure.
Yeah. And I go along with that. I think one of the greatest skills in photography is just dealing with whatever conditions are there. Yep.
Absolutely.
Whether it's, you know, that dull diffused light that you get on an overcast day and, you know, trying to get colour and, you know, a sense of contrast in those low contrast lighting, you know, that's possibly one of the hardest challenges, but equally hard is, you know, getting that harsh light to work for you, work in your favour.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, sometimes it's just waiting for a cloud to pass by. Sometimes it's, there are no clouds. I'm going to have to embrace it.
Yeah, exactly right. And And I think, like, I was, I think as I always started, when I started out, and as I think everyone does, when I think you just want to shoot, you know, the best conditions, and you want to really shoot the blue hour, the golden hour. Yeah, I think the more that I've grown along, I've been more inclined to go shoot when I want and just embrace the conditions, like you say, and just deal with what you get. Like, yeah, we all plan for a beautiful sunrise, but if it's something goes wrong, it's obviously everything happens for a reason. I feel like if you can adjust to work to the conditions, I think you're going to be more happier inside. Like, you're not going to be, you know, pissed off. You're going to be more happier inside. You're going to, you can still come away with something and just embrace it and enjoy the moment. Yeah. And that's what and back to like the last year or so, being closer to home, I've just done that. Like, just gone, okay, I feel like going out for a shot, take the camera, see what I can get, go here. Okay, I didn't get much, but still was happy just to go. So, yeah, I just feel like every photographer needs to go out and shoot in all various conditions to get the taste of it. And I guess just doing a lot more commercial work now, you know, midday stuff as made me, I don't know, more confident, I guess, to be able to shoot in those conditions. Yeah. And, yeah, so.
Well, if you get more tourism work, you'll be doing a lot more of it.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
You've got to have those blue skies. And
yes, yeah, for sure.
So have you got a favourite spot that just keeps calling you back?
New Zealand, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a little bit of travelling, I guess you could say, but not on a big scale, but not much. But I guess New Zealand it's so close to here, to Oz and to Taz. So, and it's beautiful there. There's so much to do there too. Like, it's big mountains, you know, big forests, similar to Tasmania, just on a bigger scale. And I guess maybe because I love Tassie so much and that's where I started, New Zealand's very similar and a bigger scale. Yeah, maybe that's why I'm very drawn to it.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's why I'm so drawn to it. But, like, I've been going there every year since I started, and, like, no trips, never bad there. And I've come away with some of my best work there. So, it's just something about that place. It's always calling back, and I'll definitely try to return each year, to be honest, for the rest of my life, as long as I can. So, and like, one day I'd love to take a family over there and just show them, like, this is where I was. Because I think when I first started, my first trip was to New Zealand, and it was only about 3 or 4 months into my journey. And yeah, that's where it really inspired and kicked off, to be honest. And it was like, the scale of the place is incredible. And it's like, wow, I want to do this more. And that, yeah. So New Zealand's definitely the spot, my favorite for sure.
Fantastic. What's the most memorable experience you've had out shooting?
Most memorable experience? I don't know. Like, there's a few occasions, I guess. And, I mean, each shoot's memorable to me. Like, it's my passion. I love it. And yeah. I think they're all just equal. I mean, you can't beat one with a few mates, whether it's on a hike or, you know, like, you're on a stint in New Zealand for a week and you're all there together just doing the same things that you love. It's that's to me making a great memory. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a hard question to answer. But honestly, I enjoy every moment I can out there in the field, to be honest.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a one, I guess it stuns everyone. It's like, I've done so much, and which is a good thing, I guess, but it's like, I can't really pick one. But to me, if it's just with anyone, any mates, all having there for the same reason, having a good time, that's great. That's in my book, that's a great memory. So, yeah. And if you can get a couple of bangers, well, so be it.
Yeah, it's always a bonus.
Yeah, for sure.
What about horror stories? Everyone's got a horror story from their shooting.
As in horror, do we mean gone wrong? Or,
well, it could be a near miss. It could be a loss of a bit of gear that you were really keen on. Or
yeah. I haven't lost any gear.
Oh, that's lucky.
Lucky, touch wood. Last year in February, just went for a local hike down on the west coast here in Tassie. It's probably a 2.5-hour drive from my place, and it's pretty hard hike. It's I'd say it's, in terms of kilometers, it's not actually super long. It's probably 4 or 5 one way, but it's, I think it's about 1500 meters of elevation gain, so it's a pretty up there. And yeah, it was a beautiful day, and I was like, we got up there about 3 o'clock in the arvo and just chilled out, set the tent up, and I was like, oh yeah, we'll get the camera out, take a few photos, and no SD card. And I'm like, so I checked all through my bag. I was like, oh, there's got to be a spare one in here somewhere. And obviously, because I had the overnight pack, not just my general, you know, day pack, there wasn't any SD cards in there. And oh, I was pretty shattered, to be honest, because it was a location that never shot. And you know, it was, like I said, it was a beautiful day, and I was like, yeah, these conditions are going to be beautiful at sunset, and they were. So I was very, very pissed off.
So you got to enjoy it without taking any shots.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And it was like, I was pissed off, but then when it was all actually happening and I was there with my partner, and it was one of her first overnight hikes too. So it wasn't my first overnight, sorry. It was her first overnight. So it was good just to enjoy it with her, to be honest. And, yeah, just take it in. I mean, if I was by myself, I might have been a bit more pissed off. But, it was very annoying to start with, but then, yeah, like I said, it was just nice to enjoy it and take it in. And then sunrise, of course, was perfect. So, but other than that, I don't think I've had much else go wrong, to be honest. I've been pretty lucky off the top of my head.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. What has the practice of photography taught you about nature?
It's definitely made me be more aware, I guess, to, you know, all this climate change around us, how fragile it really is. I guess, you know, 5 years ago, before I really got into it, I was a lot younger then and didn't really take a lot of this more in. But I mean, getting a bit older now and just realizing that, you know, stuff's going and it's not coming back. It's definitely made me be more aware to how fragile, what's around us and where we live is. And I guess like a lot of landscape photographers think about that as well, because, you know, that's our passion. We're shooting nature, something that's a living thing, and it's slowly dying in certain aspects. And yeah, it's definitely made me more aware and more inclined to do my thing to save the planet as such, you know. It definitely has made me more aware to what's revolving around us and to look after what we live in. So, out in the field where I'm shooting, I try to abide by the rules and do what I can where I can. Like, you know, these world heritage areas where we are in Tasmania, like Cradle Mountain, there's all this beautiful button grass and, you know, can't think of the plan off the top of my head, but there's certain plants that are very fragile, and like, yeah, okay, it'd be nice to walk out that way 20 meters and get a different angle, but I personally wouldn't do it, because maybe 5 years ago I would have, but now that I realize what you're actually doing, it's not worth it. So where I can do the right thing, I will do it. And I try to push that in the right area for others too. So
I think that's an important message, is, you know, particularly in wilderness areas, like you say, around Cradle Mountain, there's boardwalks there on that overland track for a bloody good reason.
Yeah, exactly. And you can imagine if, like, that's a really popular trail. Imagine if there was nothing there, it'd just be wrecked. Yeah. It'd be just a dirt track, you know. So,
well, I reckon it'd be a trench almost, three or four foot deep.
Yeah, exactly. With the amount of rain up there and mud, yes, you're probably right. Water gushing down the middle of it.
That's right. But, I think, as you say, it's really important to get that message out to people that are new to the game as well. You know, there's tracks and fences there for a reason. I went to a waterfall recently, and there was a, you know, fairly obvious fence around the track at the top of it, and yet there were people out there beyond the fence standing at the top of the waterfall, and I'm kind of going,
yeah.
No.
I know, and it's and it It's so hard because people are like, oh, it's going to make a great shot. But it's just like, well, then we'd all do it and just get it anyway. So just abide by the rules. And
that's right.
They're there for a reason, and it's for a good reason, I think. So,
yeah,
it's a hard one for some people to understand. And like I said, I mean, I wouldn't have thought any different if I wasn't into this area, I think. And it's just made me be more aware and open to it. So
yeah, definitely. I want to turn to the process side of things a little bit now and talk a bit about whether or not when you're going out, are you more spontaneous or are you a planner? Are you taking your time about putting together a bit of an itinerary before you go and you want to line up your shots on Google Maps or photographer's ephemeris or whatever? Are you at that end or are you at the other, let's just go and see what happens?
I'm a bit in the mix, probably more at the end of saying, no, I'm just going out and I'll wing it.
Yep.
And only I think in that reason is because maybe that's how I started out. I've always been like, well, I feel like going for a hike or I'm going to go down to the East Coast, go on camping, going to take the camera.
Sure.
Last minute decision. So I definitely lean more towards that area. But then in saying that, I still some on just depending what it is. And sometimes I'll get a little bit of Google Earth up and have a little bit of a look at the location. But in all seriousness, I don't go into too much detail. Like I said. I just like grabbing the camera and going, okay, the weather's looking good this weekend. Let's go. I don't really look on Instagram too much for the location to see what other photographers have got. I just like getting there and seeing what I can see. I guess that's, I don't know, that maybe that's why I try to find a unique, different angle of something, because I just like getting there, sussing out the location myself in person, and then being like, okay, that's what I want to shoot. And if I've got someone with me, can you get over there? I want to get a shot with you in this angle. I think it's just fun of that way, and that's how I enjoy shooting. So, yeah, that's how I'd go about it.
That's great. So you're not there sort of with much of a concept of what it is that you want. You might go, I want sunrise or I want sunset, but beyond that.
Yeah, beyond that, just whatever it is. And, yeah, like I say, whatever angles sort of come up and think, oh, yep, that'll look good at the time, let's run over there. So, yeah, it's – I mean, like, you're not going to go to the west coast of Tasmania and shoot sunrise. So it's plain obvious that you might go, okay, well, I'm going to the west coast, I'm going to shoot sunset. But
yeah.
In terms of the shots that I'm trying to line up, that's normally just on the fly. So
yeah, right. So what sort of things are you looking for in the field? You're out there and you've got out of the car or you've hiked your 20 Ks or whatever it is to your location. What are you looking for?
Something different, I think. And I might be saying the wrong thing here. I mean, like I'm sure we've all shot the same things that people have shot before, but
iconic spots are iconic.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's hard to get something different, but
I look at it from a certain angle sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess I'm just trying to, it brings it back to create something that inspires someone to go see that spot, to be honest. And whether it's something dramatic with waves coming in on the coast or if it's, you know, up in the mountain with the light leading into the valley, like it could be something really. And like I said, I love working with the lights and shadows, and I think it can really tell something. And I love it when light's coming in somewhere and then you've got really dark shadows there, and I love working with that. And if I can find something in my subject to shoot like that, I'm stoked. So
and that's
why I really love doing aerial work, to be honest, because I guess you're up on that different elevation and you're literally looking down on the different parts of light hitting the land and hitting the different parts of whatever you're shooting. You could be shooting mountains and there's, like I say, there's light leading into this valley with big rays, and or you might be over a river with, you know, light hitting a riverbed. And, you know, that's what I really enjoy shooting. And aerial, like, it's, I've done a lot in New Zealand. I've done a fair bit in Tasmania, and most of my stuff in Tasmania is the drone stuff. And if it is in, you know, national parks, it's because I've got permission for a job to be able to do it. But I'm really drawn to shooting the aerial type of work, and that's where I want to lead to doing more. And I think that's why I love in New Zealand, because it's epic from the sky over there. It's honestly another world, and I advise everyone, if you're going to go over there, just whether you can get a job doing it, if you're a photographer or if you're just a standalone person, go pay that $300-$400 for a flight, because it's pretty epic. And and that's why I try to shoot that type of work, because just to inspire and show people what it's really like. And yeah.
Cool. Are you thinking about how you're going to process the images when you're shooting, or do you kind of let the process, you know how you're going to process them? So I guess I'm going to ask this question a different way. Do you shoot based on how you're going to process things, or do you process things based on how you shoot?
I guess I'd shoot things how I wanted them to process, because every time I'm shooting, I'm envisioning the end product. And I do a fair bit of, you know, like I said, commercial work, and I'm doing video in the commercial area. And I think video, you definitely want to envision what you're going to produce. And and that has probably led me more towards, in my images, okay, I'm going to get the drone in that angle. I'm going to move around that angle because I can see what I want to end up with. I'm definitely one to be thinking of the final product when I'm shooting. And I think we all know, like, if you're shooting something with a beautiful light coming, you can just be like, oh wow, this is going to look awesome once I edit. Like, you know when you've got that image, and you've got to that point where it's like, yeah, this is going to look awesome. And that's what I'm always looking for, is what I'm going to come up with, how I'm going to do it. And then and I guess it comes back to understanding the light, because if you, like, I know as soon as I look at a scene, okay, yeah, this is not going to work. Like, it's not what I'm after. And same with my commercial work. Like, I could go shoot a house, and I mean, it's, you got to do it there and then, but it's just like, this could look so much better in 3 hours. Like, that light's on that pit, like with the light in it that way, it's just going to look better. I definitely know when I get to a scene that, yep, that's going to look great, or that's not going to look great. And if I'm found something that's going to work, I'll work around that to be able to envision that end product. So,
So you've got the shot, you're pretty happy with it, you're happy with the light, you're in the editing suite. What sort of things are you doing? Are you into loads of layers and luminosity masks and all the rest of that sort of thing, or are you more naturalistic and keeping it real with very little in the way of editing?
I'm gonna have to give all my tips away here, Grant.
No,
I'm only joking. It just depends what it is. I do use a lot of brush tools and gradient filters and stuff like that, just depending what it is that I'm shooting. I mean, and then sometimes, you know, you can get a clean image where I don't need to use that at all. It's just a basic, light edit. So, I think, it's a mixture. It's a mixture for sure. And I think in the more dramatic images, like, you know, with the light coming in on a certain angle, I'll play around with the brushes and the gradient filters, and I might get to it and be like, oh no, that doesn't look right, I'll scrap that. Then I might just leave it a bit more, you know, minimalistic. Less is more sometimes. So it all plays a bit of a factor in what I'm shooting, but I'm on the spectrum of spending, you know, 20 minutes on an image, or I can spend 2 minutes, you know. And I wouldn't spend any longer than 20 minutes on an image. I think if it's not working for me, I'll move on. Like, I'm not getting the product that I want. I'd spend, your 20 minutes in Sony Lightroom, then I'd jump into Photoshop and do some final tweaks and adjustments. And I don't really do too much in Photoshop. It's normally just I might need something needs to be removed out of the photo, like if it's a dust spot on the camera, or, you know, like just general stuff. Like, I don't play around with Photoshop too much. I'm more rather just, you know, what you've shot there and then is what I want to produce. So, so I guess my post-production time would be around, no longer than 15 to 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So are you straight into editing when you get back, or do you tend to leave things sit for a while before you get into it?
Yeah, I do a bit of both, to be honest. Like, if it's two parts. I guess if it's my commercial work and it's for clientele, I'd like to do it fresh. because I know I've shot the job on the day. I want a
deadline for that stuff anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. You normally got, you know, a week or so, or might be 2 weeks for the deadline. But I like to do it fresh whilst in my mind, because I think it's more that I'm shooting it for a clientele, and I want to keep that, get that good worth ethic there, and to keep my consistency with the job. So
yeah.
When it's a bit more my personal work, I sometimes leave it there for months. So, you know, like I still haven't even been through half my stuff in Europe at the moment. That was 3 months.
Yeah, right.
And I want to revisit that on days when I'm a bit quiet and do something fresh, you know, like that. So I think it's good to do both. And that's how I operate anyway. And then, but you know, I might get back from a sunrise shoot at Cradle Mountain. No, I've got some really good shots. I can't wait. So, and get straight into it. But then, you know, you could have a good little editing session for an hour or so or two. And then you might revisit that a week later and be like, why did I edit like that? Like it's that, that doesn't look right. So I think leaving some stuff for, you know, a period of time can, you revisit it, it plays a different factor. So yeah, I like exploring both areas in the time frame. So
yeah, cool. In terms of learning both photography, but also the post-processing side of things, are you self-taught? Did you go and seek education? Is there a mentor that you've used? How did you actually learn the craft, I guess?
Yeah, I'm self-taught with everything. And, from photography side, I was self-taught. I mean, I had a couple of other photographer friends in Tassie here that were into the same interests, like, you know, hiking and camping and having a camera. Like, they showed me the tips and tricks of the manual, to shoot manual. Like, I guess every photographer starts out shooting auto. And, Having a couple of mates there to show me a few things there definitely helped. And, I mean, I've done a couple of little YouTube videos on, like, how to set up your camera to manual and understanding a bit of ISO, you know, all that sort of stuff too. So done that at the start. And then everything from there has been self-taught in the field process of shooting. And then, yeah, editing, all back on me. Like, I've learned everything from scratch. So understanding Lightroom, you know, there's so many tools in there, and whether it's video as well in Premiere Pro, it's like it's endless. And Photoshop's then another level, you know. So I've been self-taught with everything. And I don't know if it's I mean there's no right or wrong whether you're going to get lessons to how to edit, like whether you do workshops or you watch YouTube videos, there's no wrong. And I if someone said to me, oh, would you, if I'm going to watch a YouTube video on how to do this, I'm not, I'm going to say go for it. Like, I'm not going to bag out or anything. That's just, I just think
that's right.
Just what you can and can't do. I just really enjoyed exploring with the different tools and playing around. I mean, I was just so eager to shoot. I was shooting a lot when I started. And I think, you know, the more frequent you shoot, the better you're going to get. The more practice you do, the practice makes perfect, I guess. So, and I mean, no one's perfect, but you know what I mean? As the saying goes. And I guess when I was shooting flat out, like when I was building, I was every weekend or every opportunity I had, I'd go out and shoot and come back home and edit. And I guess just doing that, you know, consistent practice is has self-taught me to where I am today. So,
What about printing? Do you do much of that?
No, not really. I've done a few prints for, you know, people, locals around Tassie and stuff that are on request. But in terms of that, I haven't really pushed that area, to be honest. Like,
yeah, right.
I don't know why. I just haven't. I don't know. I haven't really ever, been focused to push that area. And just if someone comes to me and says, "Oh, do you do prints? Oh, if you want one, what size do you want? What do you want? Just check out some images," and they might come back and say, "Hey, can you get me one of these? What's the price?" Yeah. So,
cool.
Yeah, I do it for anyone like that, but yeah, haven't really promoted it at all, to be honest. So
yeah, right. What about that time when every photographer sort of hits that creative block? Have you ever had that issue? And if so, how did you handle it?
Yeah, definitely a few times. I guess my first sort of bigger time was Probably when I was, you know, building and had the passion for photography. And it was just like, Well, I can't do it full time, so I'm sort of pissed off at myself that I can't. But you know, I was in that phase where I was really enjoying my building work, and because I was building with my mates and stuff, like we're all together, which was really cool, and it was awesome. You go to work with your mates and you just do that Monday to Friday, so there was no bad days, and that's why I was like, well, I can't be bothered with photography at the moment. I'm just going to focus on my building. And then there's just like, then you leave that for a few months and it's like, oh, and then you go back and pick it up and it's like, why did I stop, you know?
Yeah.
But right. I guess there was a sort of phase in the early years of that. And then when sort of COVID hit, to be honest, like I was, you know, traveling beforehand and, you know, I'd been in Canada, been in New Zealand, you know, and that I couldn't do that. And no one knew like, oh, how long is this going to go on for? So it's just like, my passion sort of died there for a little bit for sure. And then because I'd spent, you know, 4 years in my backyard shooting and I'm like, oh, well, I'm a bit bored of this and I can't go overseas. And, you know, as everyone sort of says, and then when we were sort of, you know, in that lockdown period, and I mean, in Tassie, we didn't get hit too hard. We were still allowed to go outdoors,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, not, you can't go interstate or overseas, but to be able to connect back with home, that's when I sort of picked it back up. You know, you had that break for X amount of months and then it's just like, well, we're stuck here. Who knows how long I'm going to be stuck here. Let's go find some new spots. And and that's what I did. And then I guess that brings back to being, like I said earlier in the show, that I've been connecting more at home and finding different spots because I'm bloody lucky to live where I am. Like it's a beautiful part of the world. Anyone in Australia, like anyone, I think Australia is a beautiful place and Tasmania is a photographer's paradise and it's perfect for what I do. And that's why I thought, well, why don't I go explore and find some new spots? And I've been, you know, I just moved up to the Northwest, so there was a few new spots that I could find. And I guess that's what's brought back into my passion. So, yeah, I've been through a few blocks for sure. And like I said, it does get hard with the commercial work and the passion side of it. Like, you know, I haven't shot much passion work probably since I've been home from Europe. And I went out the other weekend just for a sunrise shoot just because I wanted to go. And it is hard at times. But, I've been through a few blocks and I'm sure there'll be many more to come. But it's a weird time for sure for people.
Definitely. Speaking about challenges, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing photography right now?
As in, do you mean as in like commercial work or whether
anywhere you like?
I guess climate change is a factor. You know, like I'm right into shooting mountains and stuff, you know, like my big dramatic landscapes and the glaciers, and I guess they're all melting, you know, like there's only, you know, time's ticking. And I mean, like, it might not be a problem in my lifetime, but I mean, future generations of photographers to come through and do the same industry, industry as what we're doing, you know, the landscape scene, it's going to be hard. Like, you know, it's even happening here in Tasmania on the west coast in the Tarkon where the rainforest is, they're just cutting it down and, you know, there's going to be nothing left and that might be my lifetime. There's going to be nothing left there, you know? And when the future generations come through, it's just going to be a different scenario. And I just don't think it'll ever be what it is today. Like it won't be as beautiful. There won't be as, you know, there won't be as, I don't know what the word is. There just won't be as much scenery and the nature, what nature's offering today, what will not be there in the years to come. And it's going to be definitely hard as a landscape photographer for sure.
Yeah. Right. What about the future of photography? How do you see it developing? Pun intended.
Yeah. It's interesting to see where it's going. Like obviously at the moment, I mean, 50% of people know, or maybe there's more, but NFTs are happening now. Like, you know, you can sell work digitally online and anyone can do that. Like if you can pick up a camera and go take a photo and someone might buy it. People are buying pictures of drawings, you know, who knows? So, like there's definitely the future of selling more NFTs like that for photographers. I mean, mind you, I've sold a few here and there, but I haven't been pushing it as such. And I think the reason I haven't been pushed is because I've been busy with my commercial work Monday to Friday. And and like I think what drew me away from the NFT area was you had to be up there, you know, you had to be on there 8 hours a day talking about your work. I guess I understand there's a marketing side of things and there's a marketing side of things of everything in business, but I would have thought that, okay, you can post your work. I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to share it around if you're not engaging, but if you can look at an image and think, oh, yeah, I like that, I could buy that, but I don't need to hear the ins and outs of what you don't need to be there for 8 hours a day bragging on about it and all that stuff. I think like if you can see a photo and you think that's awesome, like that's what you're trying to present. That's what I'm trying to present anyway. I'm trying to show
my work should stand on its own.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you can see that image and that talks to you, well, that's what I'm trying to achieve. And I think being on a screen and talking in those spaces and just being on Twitter present, that 8 hours every day, it's too much, and I don't have time for that. And that's why it sort of drawn me away from the NFT space. But I think there's still room to grow in it for sure. And I think in the years to come, we're still so early in that area. Future photographers might expand more into that. There might not be, you know, the general print anymore. And people might not sell prints, and they're just like, okay, if you want it, you have to buy it as an NFT. Who knows? I mean, who knows? It could be a phase. It could be not. So it's still too young to say, I think. But yeah.
Fair enough. What do you like to do when you're not out shooting?
I like getting away camping around Tassie. Like, there's some beautiful spots on the East Coast, West Coast, and just taking the ute and going away. Whether it's with you know, the mountain bikes and heading to Derby or St Helens down the East Coast, and
nice.
Just spending time with some mates. And I'm riding to my wakeboarding as well, so I do a fair bit of that. Yeah, grew up doing a lot of water skiing and stuff when I lived back in Launceston on a dam that was a dam and a lake that we lived on. And we had friends that had ski boats and stuff, so we grew up in that area. That was most weekends in summer, which was great. So, so yeah, still do a bit of wakeboarding, and it's good to go out and have a few beers and do that on the hot days rather than be up on a mountain hiking. So. That's pretty much it, to be honest. Just catching up with friends and
Fair enough. Are there any photographers out there you think I should be talking to?
I guess we want to talk about the landscape area more.
Preferably, yeah.
Yeah. I think this guy, he's one of my biggest inspirations and has been since the get-go, and he's a really nice fella. I've met him once down here in Tassie. It's Jason Charles Hill. You've probably heard of him.
I have heard of him. I haven't reached out to him as yet.
Yeah, Jason's a lovely fella, and his partner Emily. And I mean, I hung out down here in Tassie with him last year, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, his work's always been an inspiration of mine. I just love the way what he shoots and how he does it and how he goes about it. And even just being hanging out with him alongside him here was great. So. I think you should, if you can reach out to Jason and have a chat with him, that'd be awesome to have a bit Fantastic. More inside and have a chat with him, because he's, yeah, like I said, a genuine nice fella, and his work's awesome. I think everyone knows that, and
Totally.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, hit him up.
All right, will do. Well, I got one more question for you, and for some it's the most important one I can ask. Do you like pineapple on pizza?
Yeah, I do. I do. Do you?
I don't mind it if it's. I don't order it specifically, but if a Hawaiian's sitting on the table and we're eating pizza, then it's going to get eaten.
Yeah, I'll go into it. I'm the exact same. I wouldn't order it, but if it's sitting there, why not?
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much for spending some time with me today, Oscar. It's been really wonderful getting to know you and getting to learn a bit more about how you do what you do. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, thanks, Grant. So people can find my work, you know, the general social medias, Instagram, just Oscar Sloan, straight Oscar Sloan, no underscores or full stops. And then my website's just www.oscarsloan.com.
Cool.
Yeah, and Twitter's Oscar Sloan as well, I think. So, yeah, just the general. But I'd advise more people to go to my website and look at it on a big desktop screen. That's what I tend to try to push more because it's a different perspective. It's a bit better than the older iPhone. So if you can have a minute to search me on Google and go there, that'd be great. So
fantastic. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Grant. Talk soon. Cheers.
Brilliant. Thanks again for listening to Landscape Photography World. I hope you enjoyed the show and keep listening because I'll be joined by some great guests in upcoming episodes. You can find my work in this podcast at grantswinburnephotography.com. I'm also on Vero, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm Grant Swinburne. Hope to see you out shooting soon.